is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran. I loved Sister Sister, and I love Lifetime Christmas movies.
Hi, I'm Dan. I was hit or miss on Sister Sister, but I despise Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo. I've never seen Sister Sister, but I saw this one, and this
is the Date the Hallmark podcast.
Boy, oh boy.
Man, August is getting away from us quick, huh, boys?
It really is.
Just
flying by.
Flying by.
Were you a big Sister Sister guy?
Of course I was.
Yeah. I remember watching the pilot and thinking, this is amazing. They're twins. It's going to be so much fun. And then it was just like, really just like scene setups for Jack A. Harry is all it was. Yeah. And like, that's cool sometimes, but I just didn't, you know, didn't do much for me.
Is Jack A. coming back to Christmas Con?
I heard she is, yes.
You heard it through the grapevine?
Yeah. Well, the Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they announced it on the Twitter, I believe.
Whenever you say I heard, though, it sounds like someone's like fed you
information. Yeah, Trace is in my ear saying yes.
Jack A's coming.
Back to Christmas Con. That's right, yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. She's going to have 6 or 7 people in her line this year.
Trace, because I said you were in my ear does not mean that you need to just go full mic.
Yeah. Unmuted myself.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I'll tell you, a big thing I never knew about Jack A was before all of her TV stuff, she was in Francis Coppola's The Cotton Club. And a couple years ago, he did a re-edit of it called The Cotton Club Encore. She has this entire musical number in that movie that had not been in the previous version. And it's great.
Wow.
Like, she's this amazing, like, singer, dancer, comedian in this number. You're like, Jack A, like,
yeah.
You know, like I knew you could do, you know, these things, but like the TV has barely tapped into what this
she
woman
got pigeonholed in pretty quickly on TV. And that was unfortunate because she's definitely
sure it
talented.
All pays well, but you know,
yes, I'm sure it pays remarkably
she should
well.
Play more neurologists. Though.
Yeah, for sure. Now if there's a good neurologist out there, it's Jack A. Harry. That's for sure. I've said it for years.
We're talking a very vintage Christmas.
Now, not starring Jack A. Harry, starring Tia.
No.
Tia.
Yeah.
This one's from 2019. This was, I believe, the only movie a part of a Summer of Santas, not from 2020, if I recall correctly.
I think so.
You might be right. Yeah.
Yeah.
2019.
Toy Store was from like 2017 or something.
Oh, okay. I can't remember what was a part of Christmas.
We got a lot of guff from people saying, "Why aren't you doing the holiday in handcuffs?" Because that's apparently another Melissa Joan Hart. We're like, look, it wasn't on the Summer of Santas. You don't. We're doing the ones that you can find on the Philo app during Christmas in July, Summer of Santas, that's as we talked about. Great title.
Hopefully you watch.
Like we will get to Holidays in Handcuffs. Well, hopefully. At some point.
The problem was it was on the Disney Plus and then it wasn't on the Disney Plus. So now it's
clearly
not on the
Lifetime
Disney.
Doesn't have the rights to that one. That no.
Holiday in Handcuffs was an ABC Family joint.
Oh, no wonder. Well, that's why it's not
currently
a Lifetime
it's
movie.
It's nowhere.
It's nowhere.
Like, that's, you know,
can't find
this
it.
Is y'all make fun of me about DVDs, but I'm telling you, if you want to have things accessible to you, get it on physical media. Streaming stuff just comes and goes.
That's right. You never can tell. One day, The Office, you won't be able to find it. That's right.
Fat chance.
Talking to you at home, Deborah. You're on season 2 for the 6th time. Go buy those Blu-rays.
It's forever.
Well, Disney Plus, though, they were like, everything's got to be on there. And then they were like, never mind. It's not going to be.
Don't get me started on Disney Plus.
Get out of here, Disney Plus.
Still waiting for the Boatniks. Not seeing it.
Dude, are we all? Are we all? We're the Boatnik boys.
So many things, and you just came hot out of the game with the Boatniks, huh? You had a chance.
It's my go-to for what's not on Disney Plus. Yeah.
I do love the Muppet Show. Big Muppet guy. That's fun. Yeah,
thank you for that.
Yeah, I love the Muppets. But yeah, we do miss the old Boatniks. No doubt about it.
Every day. I have it as a reminder on my phone.
Email Bob Iger about the whatever his name is about the Boatniks.
Where are we at, Bob?
Dear Disney.
Dear Disney.
Where are the Boatniks at?
That's all it says. We're talking a very vintage Christmas. It originally aired on November 27th. Boys, are we ready to dive in?
Yep.
Oh, wow. It originally aired on November 27th, 2019, and it went a little something like this. Sister, sister, Tia is in the house. Her father invested in a new antique. What? What? What do you? You didn't see it coming?
She's in the house.
She's in the house.
Dear gracious.
Her father invested in a new antique store. While decorating the store, Dodie, yes, her name is Dodie, gets on a ladder. And it's off to a shaky start. A dude named Ed comes up and says, "Hey, you don't look comfortable up there. Let me do it. Man's work and whatnot." He admits early on that he's a fan of Maroon 5, and she doesn't immediately send him walking. The point he's trying to make, though, is the fact that he likes new things, not old things. So best of luck to you, Dodie. When Dodo comes back into the store, she finds a wardrobe, and inside she finds a lion, a witch, and a box. Buddy?
It was all right.
The box is full of goodies, and she really loves all these fun things like cassettes.
Are your goodies?
Not my goodies. It was owned by Carl and Ginger. In fact, it's Carl and Ginger's goodies. And they have a street listed on one of the letters, and so she goes to find this house, and there is Jill Taylor from Home Improvement. She tells Sister Tia to feel free to go check out that house. It belongs to Ed. His mom is a realtor. They're fixing this house up so they can sell it. Dodie talks to Ed about the stuff in the box, and he's like, "I don't know anything about this." She then goes back to the store, and she assumes the redhead in the store must be named Ginger. That's true. She's not, and she's also not offended somehow. Ed decides to help Dodie find Carl and Ginger as, quote-unquote, his one good deed of the year. They find their first clue when they compare an old photo at Santa's Village with what's going on right now in Santa's Village. And they realize the elf is doing the same pose in both these pictures. It must be the same elf. The elf is like, "I do recognize these two. It was my first day. Can't tell you anything more about it, though." They take a picture. They go on their way. They go back. They're looking through the box. They find an old book from a library, 45 years overdue. That fine is going to be enormous. In fact, it is. The guy says, "I'm not going to give you any more information until you pay those late fees." They go down to the basement. They look through some files, and they find a name and an address, and they meet a neighbor with lots of juicy information but nothing of any value. Dodie and Ed, they keep hanging out. They're watching It's a Wonderful Life. They're eating popcorn. They're going to a Christmas tree lighting, and that Christmas tree lighting inspires them to go Christmas tree shopping together and decorate it and dance and almost kiss, but Dodie's like, "Hey! Hey, we're just friends." It's the day before the opening of the store. There's a leak. Ed comes to save the day. The store finally opens, and people actually care about this old stuff. One of the customers says, "Hey, this is a cool key." And she says, "Not for sale." It's a P.O. box. And he's like, "Well, just go to the post office." And she's like, "I never thought about that." They go to the post office. The USPS worker says, "Just go open it up. I don't care. Whatever. You have the key. There's nothing I can do about it." And inside, they find an engagement ring and a note that says, "Hey, Ginger, will you want to marry me?" They ask for who the owner is. The USPS says, "You're up to something now." But they look at the computer screen. They get some information. And then Ed and Sister have a fight about, I don't know, liking each other, whatever. Her friend and business partner says, "Hey, I got this idea. What if we built a website? Do you know of..."
Oh, what if we... Could we use Wix?
I think we should use Wix.
I think that would work best.
They build a Wix website, everybody. And it's going to be a big hit. She then, online sales start to boom, but Sister's like, "Whatever, don't care about this. What I really care about is Carl and Ginger." She gets the address, I think it's the one from the USPS, and goes to an overly decorated house. There's a Santa inside. His name is Carl. And Carl's like, "Hey, here's the thing. I was in love with this woman. I put this box in the P.O. box in case she ever was willing to settle down with me. But here we are. This is her name, what her name actually is, because her name's not actually Ginger." So Tia goes to find her, and guess what? It's Jill Taylor from Home Improvement. It's Ed's mom. They invite her to lunch, and she goes through the box. She's like, "This was amazing times. But trust me, Ed, I loved your dad." Ed decides to stay in town, help mom flip the house. They go to this dance together, and she's reunited with Carl at the dance. Carl shows up. They have a wonderful dance to Jingle Bells Naturally. And it's Christmas. The store's just booming. It's snowing outside, obviously. Winter Storm Megan, you know the one. And Ed is outside dressed like a caroler. He gives Tia a ring box, and inside is a key to a P.O. box. When she's ready for an engagement, they kiss, and that, my friends, was a very vintage Christmas.
We did it.
There's a lot in this one. It's a little mystery.
Mm.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to break this mystery down with four segments here on Deck the Hallmark. You know what I love doing sometimes, Dan?
What's that, Bram?
I love cuddling up and watching a good true crime documentary.
Ooh, true crime doc. You love a true crime doc.
I love watching the, you know, the I love watching the murder things on Lifetime. I love watching the IDs and the stuff like that. The things about the murders.
Yeah, come on.
And you know what I've just recently discovered?
What's that?
Philo.
Oh, my God.
They have them. They have the things I'm looking for.
They got the true crimes. They got the TV movies. They got the reality shows.
They got kids shows.
Nickelodeon?
That's exactly right. Where else can you get kids shows and murder in one place? Aside from my ex-wife's house. Philo.tv/DTH. You're going to give you 25% off 2 months. Philo.tv/DTH. 25% off 2 months. Go get your TV viewing on right now.
We got to stop. We have a lot of fun here on Deck the Hallmark. I do think we need to pause the program to just make sure I'm clear about something. Your ex-wife is either a murderer or is housing a murderer.
No.
Where can you get murder and kid shows aside from my ex-wife's house? She's either a murderer or she's housing a murderer.
Who loves SpongeBob. Yes.
Woof.
For those of you on the Bramble Jam Plus, if you missed that.
Yeah, sorry.
Philo ads, they're worth listening to.
They really are.
We're talking a very vintage Christmas. I'm very excited to break this movie down. A real mystery.
Humdinger.
Similar to a little Christmas charm.
The Christmas ring.
That's exactly right.
USS Christmas.
Oh, I forgot about USS Christmas. I was there. Eating brats and all. Let's break this movie down. Let's start with the hot take. I'm going to start with my good friend Alonzo. Alonzo, what do you think?
I didn't think these two had a lot of chemistry, and they're really trying to push the opposites attract angle. She likes vintage stuff, and he's very modern, you know. But as much as I have liked both Tia and Jesse Hutch in other stuff, they just didn't really quite click for me as a couple, so that kind of dragged the whole thing down. Also, a lot of this movie just feels like a first draft.
Yes!
Even by the standards of these movies.
A Lifetime first draft's online.
Yeah, exactly. So go figure. Imagine what that looks like.
Oof.
I'm kind of mezzo-mezzo.
I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. I thought Tia's character, Dodie, was an interesting character. One that is significantly quirkier than the leading gals that we're used to in these movies. I thought she was a lot of fun. And Jesse Hutch was there. And so, I mean, what more could he ask for? Right? That's exactly right. He was
chopping real wood, bro.
That's exactly right. I did like it. I thought it was fun. And I don't know if these two are going to, I didn't get the vibe that the diner lady had, where she's like, you guys are relationship goals here. But I liked them hanging out. I thought they were fun. Sherlock Holmes and Watson. I thought that was fun. But I had a lot of fun. Didn't really buy the romance, but I did enjoy the movie. I enjoyed the mystery. I thought it was fun. And then figuring it out and finally getting to talk to Carl, who's the best. Good. Good for Bran.
This movie's a dumpster fire. Okay. I will say this, somewhere beneath the wreckage of this film is a good movie. Like, I think the central idea of this box of old things leading to a long lost 40 plus year love, a great idea. But to Alonzo's point, this movie just throwing everything at the wall. There's so much going on here. hardly any of it sticks or makes sense. I think Jesse Hutch is having a blast. I think he really is having fun being not like the stone cold, like blue steel Jesse Hutch. Like he's being like this, he thinks he can make jokes kind of guys. And I think Tia's having fun, but they're spinning very different plates. They're not in the same movie. It's disjointed. And then when these two, when, you know, Jill Taylor and Carl get together, it doesn't work. Like it, these two should like, there should be instant sparks and there just, it isn't anything. And so instead, it's just a mess. They've thrown everything at the wall. Nothing has stuck. And it's an absolute mess of a movie. So just no, absolutely not under any circumstances would I ever get.
Okay. Well, that's a...
Go Doggies!
Doggies!
Aussie.
You're going to be there for our owner's Zoom later?
Yeah, later for sure. Yeah. It's 1:30 a.m., which is tough. When you're an owner, you got to make sacrifices.
When you're a part owner.
On the East Coast, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do.
We're footy boys.
Footy boys.
Let's get to all the feels. Part of the show, we talk about what in this movie, A Very Vintage Christmas, gave us feels. Alonzo?
I have to say, I got Winter Storm Megan feels. Yep. I had forgotten about Winter Storm Megan, and then hearing that, I was like, oh, yeah, that. Daniel, I know you're not a big Lifetime watcher. Do you know
about Winter Storm Megan? Yeah, didn't they pepper it in all the movies?
Yes. Almost every 2019 Lifetime Christmas movie had a reference to Winter Storm Megan, which I love the idea that they were like, you know what, this year, what the heck? We're gonna make a unified
That's great.
You know, a one cinematic universe.
And yeah. I will say, like, it's just like brilliant marketing. Like Homer doesn't do this type of fun marketing. Yeah. Like they had lots of write-ups about Winter Storm Megan last year. Yeah. They had lots of write-ups about the mentioning of Jimmy Fallon. Like Lifetime, I think, gets the viral marketing.
One of them Hallmark refuses to wink. They refuse to say we get that these movies are what they are. Whereas Lifetime fully leans in. And I want to say the you know, Very Vintage Christmas is just god awful, but I still prefer the big swing and miss of all of these things over the same movie over and over again that Hallmark is giving
playing
us.
It safe,
that's the thing that I've realized the last few weeks that I'm consistently finding myself being more and more sure of is I prefer this. I prefer this type of terrible movie versus Hallmark's terrible movie. And the Winter Storm Megan thing is a cool idea. I'm not upset about that. I think it's
especially because so many of these movies like use like snowstorms as a contrivance of like, oh, my flight's been canceled, or oh, yeah. You know, is it going to snow on Christmas? You know, I liked the snowball fight in that I liked the setup that he actually had to drive somewhere else, put snow in the truck, and come back with it. Because that again, it's almost meta in terms of like the artificiality of this existence of snow in these movies. So I thought that was kind of funny. And, you know, Patricia Richardson,
she's great.
So often in these movies, like they bring back the heavy hitter from days of yore, and they just like they make their moments land and really believable. You know, she's great in Snow Bride. She's a lot of fun in this one. So that was nice.
She's the best part of Home Improvement.
Whoa. Wow.
I saw what I said. Without her.
Without Jill Taylor. Without Patricia Richardson.
Without
character.
Jill Taylor.
You mean to tell me if it's a difference, you're not standing by. You already know you're not standing by this.
Go ask me the question. What are you going to ask?
Instead of Patricia Richardson, you put Patricia Heaton in there.
Yeah.
Home Improvement's no good?
Well, here's the thing. Without Patricia Richardson, all we have is Last Man Standing.
Good gosh.
And who wants that?
You know who Patricia Heaton is, right?
Yeah. Who is that?
It's Ray's wife on Everybody Loves Raymond. The middle, which is a great show too. If she's Jill Taylor, that works.
Yeah,
right?
It works. Patricia Heaton
is no Patricia Richardson. Let's be very
But
clear.
I do. Wait a minute.
I'm not saying Patricia Heaton and Patricia Richardson are the same. What I'm saying is the people that enjoyed Home Improvement didn't do so based upon the tour de force performance of Patricia Richardson.
I'm not saying. No, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying.
What Brandon's
I'm saying
is that
without Patricia Richardson, it like there you need the leveling force of Patricia Richardson to make that show work.
So you mean to tell me another actress doesn't do that?
I don't think so.
Really?
I think the chemistry that she had with
Tim Allen
and also leveling him out a little bit, it worked.
No one's denying any of that, but you said to start with Home Improvement doesn't work without Patricia Richardson. And I think that's a very bold statement.
I'll add as well to the innocence.
All right, I'm good then. We're good.
Obviously JTT. I mean,
he's JTT.
But boy, you know, I saw pictures of you lately. Who is that guy?
What in the world?
Who is that guy?
Man, he looks like Lil T.
He does.
Lil T.
I love Home Improvement. Especially the Christmas episode.
Alonzo's being really quiet over here.
I've also never watched Home Improvement.
I'm offended. First of all, I don't know if there's a TV show that has more Christmas episodes. Like they.
I'm sure there is.
I know that was a bold statement.
It's a really weird thing to say.
They have a lot of Christmas episodes, and they do Christmas episodes really well.
I'm surprised you've not seen it. Not because it's from the 90s, because I know you're a huge Tim Allen fan.
Oh, huge! Yes. I like the Santa Claus 1 and 2.
The Santa Claus is great.
Yes, for sure. But no, you guys watched shows when you were 11. That by that time I was like not 11, yeah. And so you know I just didn't
see 20, 20, 21.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. 15. 40. Whatever.
He was just a mature 15. He didn't do the Home Improvement.
That's exactly right.
That's right. Yeah.
That's not. Yeah. It's still. No. Yeah. Not for 15 years.
Yeah. No. Not for mature ones.
No. I saw what I said.
They wouldn't get the Wilson bit.
They wouldn't.
No. I had legit feels in this movie about the snowball fight as well. And it's fun because they make fun of snow in the movie. But. I have an uncle, Uncle James. He's not listening, but hi, Uncle James.
Uncle James!
We grew up in South Carolina, in Hopkins, South Carolina, next to Columbia, the capital. You don't get a lot of snow, very rarely, once every few years, if you're lucky. And he, in his, F-250, you know, diesel truck, every year would find the closest snow and he would drive to it. Just so he could see snow and play in the snow. This is a grown man, like just so he could go and play in the snow for a few hours. And it was the coolest thing ever. And so that's what that felt like to me. It was like he brought snow back. And I liked that scene a lot. I mean, it makes no sense at all, but I loved the scene. I thought the scene was great.
Santa Carl was my feels. Santa Carl.
Oh, you didn't get there yet.
I didn't.
We got off on Home Improvement.
I genuinely enjoyed the scene of him hashing out the story. I thought I enjoyed it. And it made me happy to
That is a good scene, but I also agree with Daniel that his reunion with Patricia Richardson does not.
It feels weird.
It does.
Her by her own is wonderful in the cafe.
Well, it's because he's not the chemistry she had with Tim Allen.
Yeah, it's next level. So maybe it's Tim Allen that makes Home Improvement so good.
No.
Zachary Ty Bryan? What's the other? Hey, how dare you?
Oh, the goth kid for a few seasons?
Andy? I don't even know his name.
Yeah,
can you give me his name? Andy? What's Andy's name in real life?
I don't know. I've never watched the show.
You know
the
things.
The only person I know from Home Improvement is the sidekick guy.
Richard Karn, like, Al Borland. Richard,
yeah. Thank you. Just because, like, gay men of a certain age think he's just the thing. So.
Wow. There you have it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man. Heidi Ho neighbor. Wait, had no idea.
Is he?
He was a bear icon of the 1990s.
Is he gay?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
He just captures a look that a certain brand of gay guys very into.
There you
Fantastic.
Have it.
Fantastic. Wow. I love learning. I love it. I love it. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with the Wait What's.
Okay.
And more here on Take the Hallmark. We're back.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about a very vintage Christmas. We're talking Tia. We're talking Jill Taylor.
Talking Home Improvement.
We're talking Home Improvement.
Jesse Hutch.
Jesse Hutch, of course. Who could leave out the Hutch? Let's talk about the Wait What's, though, in this movie. Alonzo, any for you?
Oh, I think I managed to scrape a few together. This reminds me of something that Daniel pointed out in Very Merry Toy Store. They're opening a store in mid-December, and that's a bold choice.
Yeah, bold.
For retail.
But you know what they're doing is they're not opening a toy store. They're opening an antique store, y'all. Big money.
Yeah. Mm. Early on when she finds the box in the wardrobe because she's removing the drawers to dust them. And clearly Tia as a an actress who's been very successful for a long time has never dusted anything in her life.
Never.
You don't just like start whipping a cloth around. You definitely don't whip that dusty cloth into the air, which then just dusts everything else in the room. There's a long running history of actresses who don't know how to
Dave
do
White, ladies
tasks,
and gentlemen. Which, yes.
Dave loves, there's a scene in a movie called The Burning Plain where Kim Basinger vacuums. And if you have to see it to believe it. It is bobsled race level of like, okay.
I bet that's great.
I don't believe it.
So, let's see. What else? Okay. We are meant to believe that when they take the picture with Santa, that Jesse Hutch is very like grumpy about, oh, I don't want to wear this Santa hat. He has antlers and a Rudolph nose
that's
on
right.
his pickup
yes,
truck.
Yes, he does.
But he doesn't want to wear a Santa hat in a picture.
I had written down, is this his pickup truck? Are we sure? Like, I don't know how that works.
Not my Jesse Hutch.
No.
Yeah, clearly. I love to have the conversation about how, like, yeah, well, we have the time to explore this mystery and figure it out. She's opening a store, and he is renovating a house to put it on the market. And they've just got scads. And I know that's a thing that we just take for granted, these movies, that of course they can plan the party and, like, you know, close the deal.
I don't know if
business,
you've seen these movies before, but renovating a house is 3 hours tops.
That's right. That's right.
You've seen Holly and Ivy. They knocked that out before Christmas Eve.
Good
Come
point.
On.
Bam. Okay. She misquotes Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Which she says, how I love thee. No. I know we don't like second takes in these movies, but it's how do I love thee.
That's exactly right.
I want to park on this for a second because I can't believe I saw it. A white man is romancing a black woman in this movie, and he tells her that he likes Gone with the Wind.
Oh, boy.
Maybe don't. Maybe pick any other movie from
any
the 1930s.
Any other movie.
Yeah. Mm. That's like, oh, yeah, I'm a big fan of Birth of a Nation.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah. What are we even doing here? So they're watching It's a Wonderful Life. It is clearly the end of the film because they talk about the bell ringing and the angel getting his wings and stuff. And he starts talking to her and she's like, let's just watch the movie. The movie is over.
That's right.
Like, there's not even closing credits to that film. It says the end and
it's
done.
It.
So like, what are we, let's not talk during the FBI warning that's going to scroll through the screen.
You don't know about the stinger in the color version. It's a Wonderful Life. It's crazy.
Like that SNL sketch.
Yeah.
She figures out that the way that they're going to like get people excited about the vintage crap in the store is to attach a story to everything. What if this belonged to Hemingway? What if that belonged to Cole Porter? She is making this up. Like, she has no idea the history of any of this stuff.
She's a liar.
Like, there's like, this is, I don't know, there was a movie a couple years ago called Can You Ever Forgive Me? Where Melissa McCarthy plays a woman who forges personal letters that were written by like famous actors or authors or whatever. And it's like, it's a total scam. And that's what she's doing. Oh yes. This shawl could have sat on Cole Porter's piano or not. But like, the entire business plan is based on fraud. So well played.
Nice job to you.
Yeesh. The lady at the post office is very happy to give them the name of the guy who rents box 11, but can't give you the address.
No, that would be too much.
You've already violated federal law and this guy's confidentiality, so you might as well in for a penny, in for a pound, lady. That's what I got.
I just think it's a bold plan to go up to a redheaded person and just say, you look like a ginger to me. Like, it's just a bold thing to say.
Two different redheaded ladies in this movie get accosted. And at one time, Tia looks at one and says, so you're not ginger? And this redheaded woman goes, no, I'm not.
I'm not.
That happens in this movie. What? Go ahead.
It's worth pointing out that ginger hasn't always been considered an insult. Like, that was sort of a South Park thing.
Yeah, but also, I don't care, insults or not, offended or not, the fact that these women who are not ginger, the character in the movie,
happen to?
They have, both of them have red hair. The cafe lady, and they both have red hair, and you're going to come in hot with, so you're not ginger? And that woman in the antique store is going to be like, no. Like, that is ironic. Like, that had to be on purpose, right?
Daniel, they're red hair ings.
I loved it.
Pun of the week. Pun of the week. It's only Monday, but I'm calling it pun of the week.
I love a pun. Where's Panda when you need him?
That was perfect.
They decorate a tree together, and then he counts 3, 2, 1, turns on the lights, and then they put the ornaments on. It's like weird. Monsters. Yeah. Who are you? Who do you think you are?
I check the lights.
Of course you do. And then you unplug and you put the ornaments on.
And then you do the 3, 2, 1. Yeah, I just want to make sure. You guys turn the lights on to make sure that they're all working.
You turn them on, you make sure they're all working, and then you unplug it, you do the ornaments.
You don't want to be scorchingly hot while you're standing by your tree for an hour.
You don't do 3, 2, 1 until you're done. You tie, you die. this guy, I love the scene. I love Santa Claus.
This may be your favorite line ever.
But I've never...
We were laughing so hard about this. It's not going to live up on the pod, but it's great.
He says, playing Santa for a living, it's all or nothing.
Does this guy operate heavy machinery for the CIA? No! He wears a red suit a month a year. It's all or nothing.
It's all or nothing.
It's all or nothing.
You leave it all on the line, on the sleigh. You leave it all on the sleigh.
He doesn't even have a real beard. He couldn't be less committed.
It's all or nothing. Is.
The best is in the next scene, Jill Taylor's pouring her heart out at the cafe, and she's like, you know, when you start working and, you know, you start becoming a realtor, and it's like, she's like, it's all, she didn't say it's all or nothing, but she's implying that you're like, well, more than being Santa for a month, for sure. He doesn't even have a real beard. It's not all or nothing. If it's all or nothing, it's nothing for him. He stuffs his shirt. He's not fat. He just stuffs his shirt and puts a fake beard on.
When you're playing Santa for a living.
When you are Santa for a living, it's all or nothing. Unbelievable.
Yeah, real Santa from Christmas Welcome Home would like a word.
That's exactly right.
For sure. A southern word. Bless his heart.
That's exactly right. It's my favorite line I've ever heard someone say. So when you're playing Santa for a living, it's all or nothing. I loved it.
Yeah.
Dan?
My Way What's are sponsored by Wix today.
Wix. Our partner listens to a lot of podcasts.
That's right. Right now, enter promo code BADMOVIE, and you can save. The Wix thing was great because they say it. And that was supposed to be casual. And then later you see the website and they scroll really fast and there's a giant Wix logo on the screen on the left side that is just like, why would I ever use Wix if the logo is going to take up that much of the screen? So Wix, well done on your funding.
We looked at Squarespace, but who would do that?
We're not monsters.
They don't even put their logo on the front page of my website.
Yeah. Well, they don't even know what they're doing. I do want to be clear. Not only does this guy, his selectivity regarding old things is just unfortunate. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. Like, he's referencing Gone with the Wind. He knows an Elizabeth Barrett Browning poem, but doesn't know Singing in the Rain. It doesn't make any sense. You can't have this guy who can just spout off Elizabeth Barrett Browning but has never heard of Singing in the Rain. That Venn diagram is just Jesse Hutch in this movie.
He likes 3D action movies. Right.
You know the kind. So many good 3D action movies out there these days, for sure. That didn't age well from a year and a half ago. May I just throw out that Tia and her business partner shouldn't be owning a business of any kind because... she went to file the business paperwork, and I want to make sure I get this right. Didn't factor in taxes. I can't believe these taxes jumped up out of nowhere and got me. Wow. And then they're like, man, we spent all this money on this vintage store a week before Christmas. We thought it was a bang up idea. But in spite of all of that, I can't believe this is in the movie. All they need to do is earn $200 a day. So they, if they sell $200 of merchandise in a day, they have met the budget. Now,
if they sell half a wardrobe,
like I'm just gulping. So first of all, are both of them like, they're both under the poverty line, like clearly, like, cause if you're just closed on holidays and you're open every other day, like together you're making like maybe 70K. That's before you pay rent, those pesky taxes. You got to keep the lights on and then you got to pay
and buy merchandise.
Yes. You got to buy more merchandise.
And pay the families you're using their names to sell their merchandise.
So $200 a day.
Mark Twain's estate's calling.
It's, and you got to keep a lawyer on retainer.
It's hilarious to think that that's enough to run any business, much less this one on some sort of Main Street. But then they also aren't pricing things well at all because they have this big thing. Nobody buys anything. And they say, how we do? And Tia's business partner goes, we sold 5 candlesticks, 2 dresses, and 2 clocks, but didn't make our budget. So somebody got 2 antique dresses, 2 antique clocks, and 5 candlesticks for under $200.
Wow,
we've got a pricing problem. We don't know how to run our business. Okay, we don't know how to do math. We don't know how to factor in taxes. We don't know how to price things, and we obviously don't know to not open up a vintage antique shop a week before Christmas. It's really bad out there, guys.
And also, because the merch wasn't flying out of there during the open house, the partners meet like, should we have discounts?
Yeah, maybe we should discount it more. Maybe we should discount it more. Maybe it's not enough that you can get all this for under $200.
What if we pay them?
Yeah. I would say unsung hero of the film is this poor darling extra who Tia is trying to sell something to on that day. Tia is selling, like, it's made of this, it's blah, 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 it's from the 1800s, right. It's Polish.
It's rare.
And this poor woman is not allowed to speak because she's an extra. And she plays the entire scene silently. And she's just like, over and over again. And it gets awkward. No one would just be silent there, and she has to be silent there. And I do, last but not least, this librarian cannot be trusted. He left children with complete strangers to read them a story and then gave them access to all of the library's files, decades of files. Can I see some ID, please? You don't have it? Oh, do you have a blue truck with a red nose and reindeer? You're good. You're good. Come on back. Look through all these personal things, please. Oh, man.
He has a master's in library science.
That's right. Yes, he does. He was punching a lot of numbers in that calculator. That's it. That's all I got.
Let's get to the What the Lifetimes, the part of the show where we wonder what could have been, maybe having to get some clarity to the questions that we still have. Alonzo?
I just wonder what the rest of the year that isn't Christmas is going to be like for these two, because It's a Wonderful Life is the only piece of culture they have in common. And neither of them seems particularly interested in learning about what the other one likes, with the exception of him slapping on that caroler costume just to, like, you know, seal the deal. If you're going to sell me an opposites attract storyline, then they need to attract. And I didn't really ever get that from these two.
I've seen the Santa documentary, so I know playing Santa can bring in the money, but playing Santa, obviously it's all or nothing. But
all or nothing.
But or nothing. he's not, I don't think he's like retired. Like, what else is he doing?
It's all or nothing.
That's, I understand.
Nothing.
So
else.
What's it mean for him? What's he up to the rest of the year?
And his yard is just Christmas threw up on his yard.
I mean,
when you're all or nothing.
And that's the thing for him. It's all or nothing.
Yeah.
And is that a year round display? I mean, like, if he is Santa for a living,
it's all or nothing.
Yeah. So what, January and October is the nothing part? I don't
know. No, it's all. It's still all. It's never nothing.
If you mean the documentary I Am Santa, people should check it out.
I've never even heard of it.
It's fantastic.
Really?
Yeah. Nick Foley, very committed to being a Santa now.
Really?
Yeah.
Mick Foley, the wrestler?
Mick Foley, the wrestler, yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we almost had him on this particular program.
Loves Christmas, loves Santa, did a documentary about these mall Santas and stuff.
Unbelievable.
And how serious,
of course you've seen it.
The big malls, like, it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
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 Dan, can we just put a stake in the moment here that Bran and I have heard of a movie that you don't know?
It's great. Like,
I think
it's great.
And the history of the show, yeah.
If there was one, it's that, Mick Foley investigating the world of Santa.
WWE star doing a Santa documentary is all
stop,
of Bran.
Stop selling.
Yeah. if there was the Orlando Magic in, then Bran would just live in that movie, I feel like. Yeah.
I'm just saying, though, it's actually good. You'd like it.
Okay. I got to check it out. I have two. Number one, I need to know more about this Mr. McCormick fellow. They stop at what they think is Carl's house. It's a throwaway line. The town gossip. She's like, I can tell you all about Mr. McCormick, who, and I believe I could have written it down wrong because I was too busy laughing, took up drinking and ran off with the delivery girl. Yes, is that basically what I heard?
Yes.
What's going on there? I mean, that sounds like a movie.
It's pretty clear. He took up drinking and he ran off with the delivery girl.
What delivery girl? Like, is it
that's
like
a Lifetime movie, not during the Christmas season.
That's right. You could probably title it that too. Mr. McCormick takes up drinking and runs off with the delivery girl.
With Rob Lowe.
What's going to happen in this one? So, and then lastly, the end of this movie, was that a proposal?
Oh, boy.
There's a key in this thing. Was it a proposal?
He's just like, when you're ready or something?
It was very weird.
You know, it's like he's not asking the question, but it's incumbent upon her to go open the box if she says yes.
It was out there. I didn't know what to do with it. It's not an engagement ring.
It's just something that's showing that I want to be with you forever. What movie was that?
Well, I don't know. We've watched so many lately. It's not an engagement ring.
No. I'm letting you know I would like to be engaged to you, but you have to make the next.
That's right.
Exactly right.
The onus is completely on you.
Yes.
It's all or nothing. Almost like playing Santa.
When you're playing Santa.
There you go.
It's all or nothing.
It's all or nothing.
People call me. They say, can you hang out? And I'm like, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. When you play Santa for a living, it's all or nothing.
It's all or nothing. And you know what? The beautiful thing is if he had ended up with Ginger, could never have been Santa.
No. It would have been nothing.
It would have been nothing at that point. And you can't have that.
And Jesse Hutch would never have been born. So.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Think about that.
Real butterfly effect situation.
Ooh. How good is the Lord? We did it, everybody. Congratulations. Alonzo, would you like to give anybody some words of wisdom, some thoughts you have?
Sure, yeah. Antique and vintage are not the same thing. Read a book.
Very well. We did, everybody. We're going to be back tomorrow with another episode. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.